You're listening to Careers and Cocktails, Career Talk with a Twist, hosted by expert recruiter Renee Fry. Let's get this party started.
Hey, party people. Welcome back to Careers and Cocktails. I'm thrilled to have Jamie Tates with me. Jamie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I know, I'm so sad we couldn't meet in person, but due to COVID and all these mask laws, I thought, you know what, or mask regulations, excuse me, I thought we'll just do it via Zoom, even though, you know, once all this is over, you'll have to come into the studio and be with me.
For sure.
Jamie's favorite drink is champagne, and we have this wonderful Piper Heidsieck that we got, and I'm inviting Jamie. She already opened hers. She has some big celebration news.
Cool. So yes, it's wonderful, by the way.
Oh, you have never had it before?
No.
Oh yeah, it's good. And guess who else's favorite champagne this was?
Whose?
Marilyn Monroe.
Fitting.
So you are coming to my VIP red carpet episode of Careers and Cocktails with the Piper Heidsieck champagne. Now we have a Cuvée Brut, and it is obviously created in the Champagne region of France. So some people don't realize that it can only be called champagne if it's produced in the Champagne region.
I do know that.
In the city of Reims, which is the unofficial capital of the champagne wine growing region. And then sparkling wine in the United States is simply called sparkling wine. Sparkling wine in Italy is called Prosecco. Sparkling wine in Spain is called... Why am I drawing a blank? Starts with a C. Cava. Cava. Okay. All right, this is under really a lot of pressure. So here we my favorite wine in the whole world.
I know.
All right. So Jamie, give us your elevator pitch. Who are you?
So who am I? So I'm the CEO of Keystone Group International. I am a future author. The book is with the publisher right now in the final kind of edits and that whole process that feels like it takes years of your life away. I'm a podcaster. So I have my own podcast as well. I'm a mom of four teenagers. So for those of you who are living through COVID and you understand my pain and what that looks like and why I come to the office for sanity. I built Keystone, it's been 7 years now, which is crazy. And we're focused on driving impact for individuals, for businesses. It's all about impact for us and how we can help them grow and change and be better, right? And do better together. So that's who I am at a really high Cliff Notes level.
Well, good. Thank you so much for coming on. And you have to, what are we celebrating this week?
So, right. The story is that I didn't know if I broke the rules is share what day it is. Like it's Monday.
Yeah.
Right. Like whenever the podcast releases, but we're recording on a Monday, it's 3:15. And right before I jumped on with Renee, I had my COO come in and tell me about a pretty major deal that would be record-breaking for us that is happening. And so I popped the champagne with my team at 3:00 on a Monday to share the love because I knew I wasn't drinking this whole thing before I go home. Right. So that's why I didn't follow the rules and wait until the podcast because we had big things to celebrate, but that's what life's about.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Cheers. I'm so happy for you.
Yay. During a pandemic, you can grow a business.
You can. So we're going on a party bus. We're going to invite more famous people. They have to be alive though. So who would you invite?
Justin Timberlake.
Oh my God. I saw him in concert. And
my husband's not going to listen to this podcast, right? I mean, I'm just like, come on, you know, he'd be a riot dancing, singing. Like if you're a party bus, that's who you want.
He would be so good. I actually have a story. So I have six sisters and a brother and we were chaperoning my niece's birthday party. And then after we were going to the Justin Timberlake concert, well, a couple of her select friends were going. And so me and two of my sisters said, oh my God, we should go with. We were like, okay, how much money are we willing to spend? We each said $70. We went down to the corner of the XL Energy Center and got tickets for $70. We were on the floor. I had Timbaland walk right next to me, and I was like, I like panicked because I didn't know what to do when I saw a celebrity, but we had a ball.
See, it would be fun to be on the front bus. That's who you would want.
Awesome. So let's jump right in. You have phenomenal expertise on leadership training. And I would love to know, when you work with someone on that specific component, what's the biggest, most common gap that you see that people have, Jamie?
The biggest gap that's being exposed, I think it's always been there, but it's and not just during the pandemic, it's even prior to that, is emotional intelligence and empathy.
Really?
So leaders, because people get put in leadership positions when they're good at something. Usually a skill, right? And they're the best salesperson, it becomes a sales leader for that organization. And we talk about everybody being leaders, but as true leaders, like you're put in that position to lead other people, it's emotional intelligence. It's what they struggle with. It's being able to connect to their people at an emotional level. And we talk about that, how to be authentic in that.
Yeah. And so how do you get them to change that? Because I mean, you know, as the president of my company, I would suspect that some of these leaders feel like, oh, I have this image to portray, and I can't get too personal with my team. Is that some of the obstacles you're dealing with, or
totally,
mindset?
Because people feel like as leaders, we've got to have it all figured out. Like, you know, everyone's looking to us to like the answers and what we're supposed to do. And when we hit an obstacle, what do we do? And so we can't show any kind of weakness. But the truth is, when you look at the science of humans and how humans are drawn to each other, and really the sign of a leader is people want to follow you wherever you're going. You know, even if it's a crazy location, right? And you're going down that project or whatever it is. And part of it's the awareness for leaders that they need to be able to balance that. Not everyone's going to be as good at emotional intelligence as others, but I truly believe it's a muscle. I believe it's a muscle you can exercise and get stronger. Some people, it's just easier than others, right? We naturally have some of it. But it's bringing that awareness to the forefront and helping them understand that how you get the most out of your people is to connect to them, right? At that deep level.
Sure. So then how do you recommend building that muscle? Like, what are some things I could implement to start building that EQ muscle?
The first step is awareness. So there's some great kind of EQ assessments, and there's actually quite a few free ones that are pretty decent to just allow you to understand where you have gaps. We also recommend with all of our leaders, like when we do coaching, is that they reach out to kind of the people that are closest to them, whether that's, you know, family or, you know, employees or maybe a boss or a peer, and talk about where they have those gaps. And part of this is just starting to practice it. Here's the good part. If people want to talk about the good part of COVID, from our standpoint, is we believe that leaders have been born during this time. Like, people that were good before have become great leaders. And the reason being is when COVID happened and we all went into our holy crap moments and we're figuring everything out, nobody had the answers. So we leveled the playing field. The people at the top of the organization really didn't know any more on how to solve this than the average employee. And we were all in it together. And I think it humbled a lot of leaders to the point where they started to realize that my people still respect me, even if I don't know every single step along the way that we need to do. We're going to take it a week at a time, right? And so for us, we saw this whole different level of leader that showed up. And I think a lot of leaders were tested and they realized that I have more emotional intelligence than I realized. And I can do this, and my people want more of this. So I think it's a silver lining to everything that happened from a leadership perspective.
Totally. Totally. I love that. So how do you hold them accountable when you're getting them to strengthen this muscle?
Yep. It's creating action plans. That's the word that we use, because it's individual for every person. And for some people, they can get there a little quicker, or it takes a different approach and action to get to that vulnerability, really is the word that we're trying to get to, where you're able to open up. But we create really tactical action plans with leaders in their authentic way. So our big thing is authenticity. So you and I do not need to lead the same way. We need to lead in who we are, but there's some basic principles for leaders that you need to follow, like some guardrails. But within those guardrails, you got to be you. right? You don't lead like me. I don't lead like you, because otherwise we show up inauthentically.
Right.
And what our people really want is for us to just show up and be human. And so for each leader, it's a little different in what they have to develop. Some of them have that humanity piece already, but they just need to use it more. Some of them, it's so uncomfortable that we have to start small, right? And they have to take really small actions on just starting to share more of their personal lives with their employees. So some of it, like I said, it's a muscle, and we just have to exercise it in different ways depending on where they're coming from.
So when you say people, you know, they need to start sharing a little more personal information, for some, I can imagine that's got to be really uncomfortable. How do you get them to do it and feel the uncomfortableness and keep going forward? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We start small depending on where they're at. We start with just sharing a little something about their family, right? With their employees or in that one-on-one. We have them actually maybe change the structure of the discussions with their team or their report outs to their team or whatever it is where they're sharing something personal. It can just be a personal best. It doesn't have to be sharing like these deep, dark secrets. Like people think that's like what we mean. We're really just saying humanize yourself, right? Make yourself relatable. Like, oh my gosh, you have six sisters. I also have, like, you can share these things that aren't really hidden. They're just something you've never shared before. There's no reason that they're like in the closet, you know, behind the door. And so we talk about those things. So there's some common things like, you know, where you're from, how many siblings you have, like what was your greatest struggle growing up? Like there's a set of questions that can sometimes be the icebreakers. And we recommend they do it with their teams, because what that really does is then teach their team to also be open with each other. And that's where collaboration happens. That's where people trust each other more, is when we can share those unique things about ourselves. And you'll be shocked. I was meeting with somebody, another CEO, business owner, last week, and we figured out, we're both from small towns in Iowa. We both went to the same university, not at the same time. We both knew all of these same things, and we got off on a complete tangent that had nothing to do with business. But I feel like he's like a kindred spirit to me now, because we have like this background that nobody knew. They only knew us as business people.
Right. Right? How crazy. It's so ironic when those things happen. You meet those people. It's like meant to be.
I know. But that's how we should be with our employees too, right? As leaders. I think that's important for us to make that same connection, because who knows
right.
what we have in common.
Exactly. So what changes with this COVID do leaders need to make in the way they motivate their teams? Because now it's a lot of it's virtual. We might be wearing masks in situations you can't see the full expressions. How can they lead and support their teams better during all of this?
Yeah. So a couple of tips that we're giving to our leaders and our clients. Just the first one is the vulnerability. I mean, we've already kind of talked about, but being open about their own, like, this is really sucks, you know, or like the unknown, and I'm feeling it too. Like, make that human kind of piece. So share first, because then other people will open up. The second one is ask different questions. So instead of how are you, right? Which is the common, like, how are you? Oh, I'm good. Thanks. But you know, and then you move on. It's pretty superficial, right? Surface level. Ask different questions, right? What's the biggest struggle you're having right now? Work or personal, it doesn't matter.
Oh, I love that question.
What's one thing I can do to make your life easier right now? It could be my freaking video camera only works half the time. Like, my computer has been slowing down. Like, you don't know those little things that are frustrating them and making them unproductive. So by asking what's one thing, someone's going to serve something up for you. And then right. It's probably going to open the door to there's other things there. And so it's asking different questions, I think, is really important. And then we talk about having that one-on-one time. So if leaders aren't doing this with their employees minimum once a week, probably more than you even met one-on-one in the office, this is important, because you have to be able to look at somebody's eyes, and you have to, when you ask a question, be able to see their nonverbal reaction, because you're going to tell a lot more from that than you are just over the phone. So video is huge right now.
Exactly. Exactly. So walk me through, how do you see on the job development continuing on in this virtual world?
So what's been interesting for us, and I mean, I was joking with you, we're growing during a pandemic, because teams are like, we need this now more than ever. Mm-hmm. Like, and what we realized very early on, this was like late March, is we all have basic human needs, right? So it's things like connection, love, significance, growth, right? Those don't go away when we have a pandemic. But a lot of us used to be able to satisfy those outside of the office, right? And then outside of the office went bizarro, right? And went in chaos. And what we started realizing is they could satisfy it even more on the job, even if it was virtual. So growth, right? Those opportunities. So we're seeing clients that are like, now's our time to do training. Yes, we'd love to do it in person and have everybody be able to work with each other, but they're investing in training now because their people need to be stimulated.
Right.
So we've got to figure out what that growth looks like. It could be a project. It doesn't have to be training. There's a lot of great online training platforms where you can do a class, right? And it just make feel like your brain is being stimulated in a different way. So that's what we're recommending to our clients is now is the time to invest in those types of things for your people to keep performance at a high level.
I love that. I love that. You know, Jamie, in the past, I was put on, you know, when I was getting ready to be promoted at Target Corporation, I was put on really highly visible projects to get in front of other leaders in preparation for that promotion. How does that happen in today's world with video meetings and the current state when you aren't physically there and you can't see those people?
So to those people that are at those points, right? Like, just like where you were, where you're like, I really want the next thing. I don't want this to stall out for a year, is volunteer to help. And the same advice I would give a leader to their employees, I would give employees to their leader, ask different questions. What's the biggest struggle you're having right now, Renee, right? As a leader, like ask your leaders what that is, because what it's going to do is produce projects or produce things that you can help with and that you can rise above during this time. Being virtual, and there's a lot of companies that have been working virtual for a very long time, and their people still progress. So I want people to reframe how they feel about being virtual. Is, do we want to be here forever? No, a lot of people do not. But is it our current circumstance? It absolutely is. But we can still achieve what we used to achieve in the office. We just have to get creative. Right? We have to do something. We have to exercise different muscles than we had to before. And so it's just shifting your perspective more than anything and saying, I'm going to ask different questions in the meeting. I'm going to ask different questions of my boss. I'm going to see things and bring them up and say, you know what? I'd really like to help make this better. I see our culture slipping right here, or I don't think we're doing enough of this. Can I take that on? There's no leader on the planet. Well, there are some leaders, unfortunately. We've seen some of them.
Yeah.
But there aren't a lot of leaders on the planet that are going to be like, no, don't take on more, right? Don't do something outside of your normal job function. Most are going to say, if you are passionate about that, like, go for it. Like, let me know how I can help you. But we have to stand up and say, I want to do this. And I want to.
So the question that you shared asking the leader, say it again. Because it was so good.
You ask your leader,
yeah,
like, what are you struggling with right now? Like, what's the hardest thing in our business right now? Things like that. Like, get curious. And when they bring it up, first off, no one's asking them that, right? As leaders,
right. No one
is. No one's asking them. No one's caring about them. They're trying to care about everybody else.
Yeah.
The moment you care about them, and this might not be your leader. If there's another divisional leader that you're on a call with about something else in the chit chat at the beginning, ask them, what are you guys struggling with right now? Like, is there any way our team, our division can help?
Right. Those are great questions. Yeah.
And so what I want people, and then we do this in all of our training, is we break people of leadership is a box on an org chart or a title. Leadership is how you think and how you motivate and inspire other people. And you can do that even up in the organization and other parts, but you have to put yourself out there.
Absolutely. And I learned this question early on in my career to ask my leader whenever I had a new leader or, you know, in the course of a conversation, right? I would always say, what can I do to support you better? And they never get asked that question. And it like stops them in their tracks. So not only does it make me stand out, they're like, oh my gosh, she like cares, you know, and it just,
she cares about the team, right? Mm-hmm. Not just herself. That's really what you're telling them is, what else can I do to help the team?
Exactly. Let's shift into workforce retention. Mm-hmm. You know, this keeps me up at night, how to re-recruit my team every day, because I don't want to lose
any. That's why I give them champagne on Mondays.
You know, that's one retention strategy.
my marketing manager, right? She's younger, and she's like, I tell my friends who work at big brands in town what we get to do. Like, we went out on the boat like a couple Fridays ago in the afternoon. We're still doing work. We're talking about, but she's like, they can't believe that we do this kind of stuff. And I'm like, good. I can't lose you.
yeah. Good. Yeah. I like your re-recruiting strategy. Give them champagne and boat rides.
Boat rides. It's the way of their heart.
But what's the best way for leaders to retain teams during COVID?
Care for them. Like, I sound like a broken record, but the basic human needs, your number one way to retain people right now is to meet their human needs. That might not have been pre-COVID, but right now they are not getting certainty met anywhere else. If you can provide certainty in your business for them, you're satisfying something. You're taking that little bit of fear away from them. Connection, right? Again, it looks different over Zoom or something like that, but you can still do it. Love. I know that's a weird word in companies, but it's what does that person need to feel taken care of and to feel like you truly care about them as a person?
Right.
That's what's going to retain people right now. And it's always been that way. But people need, the businesses that figure this out, which our clients are having amazing results, are the ones that are going to have a competitive advantage when everything starts to turn.
Yep, exactly. So you talked about meeting with your employees at least, what did you say, once a week, once a month?
Once a week, face-to-face, even if
once a week.
Yep.
Now with Zoom, how can you develop stronger relationships?
I think it's the personal piece, right? It can't just be when we're Zoom and we're remote. And here's what happened with COVID when everyone went remote is I brought my business and my career into my home, sometimes into my kitchen table, right? It was weird for a lot of people. And people that even worked from home occasionally before, this was totally different. My boss wasn't Zooming me and I'm sitting at the kitchen table, right? Like, and it was acceptable. But when we brought work into their personal lives, we need to then expect that we have to care about them as a whole person. Like that's the shift that happened to us, but now it's our job to figure that out. And so it's just not being all business all the time, not just results driven. Like it's caring about them as humans, and the results will come. Right? The customers will be happy if we care about our people. So it's doing that more and also customizing it. The other advice I would give people that are listening is if you're in leadership, right, you don't get into leadership because it's an easy job or because everybody can do it. You get in there because you care about people. If you're a really good leader, you care first about the people and then about the results. And so you need to focus on that, and that will reap huge rewards, but you have to manage everybody differently, right? That whole thing about all your people need to be managed the same. People are dealing with different things. We all have different situations at home, kids situations, financial situations. And so it can't be a one size fits all approach right now, unfortunately, which a lot of leaders wish it was.
Right. So when you're getting into those video meetings with your team, do you have some tips to like share something personal right out the gate or set aside time for that kind of sharing? Or do you comment like, I see that book. I know you're in your office, but I see that book behind you, Jamie. Mm-hmm. Like, can you give us some tips on that?
Yeah. So we're recommending if it's team meetings, so like a leader with multiple members of the team, that they're actually adding an agenda topic at the beginning that just talks about like, give me a personal and professional best in the last week or, you know, whenever the last time we met was. Like, share both. Because it also allows us to celebrate when it feels like the world is falling apart. Like, we're getting some stuff done, right? Like, we're celebrating things in the business too. And it could be that Tommy had a baseball tournament last weekend or, you know, whatever it is, but that's good too, because we get to know each other. And so sharing that in your team meetings, it might feel a little weird at the beginning for people, but that's why you as a leader have to start, right? You have to do it first to show them it's okay. And then in the one-on-one meetings, if it feels weird to just start up the conversation, is we tell them to start with, give me a positive and a negative emotion that you're feeling right now. Like, what's positive and negative? Because when you allow them to play the negative in, it actually, their brain goes, oh, but there's positive here too. And so it helps to reframe it for them. So you allow them to say, you know, this is really great that we've got this project going on, but I'm losing a lot of sleep because I'm worried about whatever related to that project. So you get them to open up. And then once they open up, to me, that's where you can ask the next question that won't feel super personal, but it's like, well, how are you feeling about that? Right? How are you dealing with everything else? Mm-hmm. We also created, and I don't know how to best get this to you guys, but we did a lot of free stuff. We created a ton of content and worksheets for our clients. We created a one pager for leaders around the basic human needs where we describe each one. And then we have someone rate themselves on a spectrum on where I'm at today.
Awesome.
Different. So it allowed the leader to say, I'm going to rate myself and you rate yourself. And we'll talk about like, oh, I'm feeling kind of low in this area today, but it creates that dialogue.
I love that. We can figure out a way to put it in the links.
Okay.
Is it a PDF or?
It is. It's a PDF. So we'll figure out a way.
Okay. And then I was going to go. So I use the professional and personal best in my team meetings. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But the positive negative emotion thing, that's the first thing. I've never heard of that, Jamie. And that's really awesome. I could see how that would open up some really authentic conversations and get to like the root of maybe someone's feeling uneasy about something, and it would definitely surface at that time. So I love that. So let's talk about company culture. Mm-hmm. Are retention techniques the same across the board for companies? Or do they each have their own like methods for employee retention?
Yeah. So we do a lot in the culture space, and we actually created our own model called the Culture Strategy Intersect because there was really nothing out there that could explain it in this way. But what it essentially does is simplify culture down to a set of factors. And the reason that we do that, it's an operational framework, right? It's not a like theory based, like do these five things and your culture is going to be great. And so because of that, it allows us to customize it for the business because your business model, your business values all play in to
right.
your culture. So you can't read a book on culture and like go do a few things and your culture is fixed, right? It has to be very focused on your business.
Mm-hmm.
And so that model really helps us assess that because retention is the same way. What's going to retain someone at my business and your business and a huge business is going to be different.
Right.
And so I think leaders need to first relax a little bit about culture, but also not try to chase what someone else is doing. Like do what matters to their people. And
sure.
When we usually meet with leaders that are talking about culture, our first question is, have you ever asked your people what matters to them? Because we come in and we have a client now that before they worked with us, went out and thought that they had this fun culture, you know, pre-COVID, the ping pong table and the kegerator and right, spent $100,000 in their office to make it cool. And their engagement scores went down.
Oh,
and they, when they came to us, they're like, what the hell? And
go ahead.
And we asked their people, everyone was like, I would have rather just had them spend that money and give us all an extra day of vacation. That's all we want.
Oh my God.
I don't care about the ping pong table.
Right.
Right. Or beers on Friday at 4:00. I want to go home to my family.
Right. I want to know how many leaders, when you ask them that question, have you ever asked your employees, how many said no?
Most all of them. Well, they don't say no. They go, well, we do this survey. And no. Have you actually asked them? Let's vote as a team. Are we going to spend $100,000 here? Or should we do maybe some leadership development? Or should
right.
we do... But ask your team because there are cultures where the ping pong table and the kegerator make a difference.
Right.
And I use that, you know, jokingly, but
yeah.
there are some that works. But if you're not one of them, don't go follow what somebody else who's in Minneapolis business, you know, had a full sheet profile on their cool office if that's not what matters to your people.
Exactly. That actually, I asked one employee on my team, I was like, hey, do you think we should go do a happy hour? But she wasn't into, she would rather spend time, go home and spend time with her children. But yet the rest of my team really wanted that. And it all came out when we did work. It was like love languages for the workplace. So workforce
yep.
appreciation languages or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I pulled her aside after and I was like, I probably should have pulled the whole team, not just one employee, but total bad on my part because I didn't ask.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's as easy as that. And not that I think a lot of leaders are worried about asking because then you get seven different answers on what they want. But if you facilitate it in a way of like, okay, there's three options. Which one is the one that'll, you know, be most engaging to you guys? Give them options, not just like open book. But then it's customized to them. Yeah.
I like that. I like the options because then they have value. They have skin in the game when they've chosen it. And that can also work to retain them as well because you valued their input. Love it.
We have a client who's more male dominated kind of industry, right? In the construction. So they don't have as many females in their office. Well, every year they do this gun club thing.
Oh gosh.
And I mean, I know this is like a case study for what, but their team loves it. But I was like, but what about the, like, you know, 30 women that work in your huge organization? And they're like, yeah, they don't always come. And they're sometimes the ones coordinating it. And it's like, well, why don't you do something separate for them or do something at the same time? Let them go do something else with one of the women leader, you know, or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, that fundamentally shifted everything. Like they were just like, you appreciate us, right? Like we don't have to care about guns to be appreciated here.
Right.
They didn't have to do away with the thing that really mattered to their other part of their employees is you can do multiple things.
I love that. So Jamie, you've shared... So Jamie, you have given us tremendous value bombs throughout this conversation. And now I want to find out, where do you get your inspiration from?
So I get a lot of inspiration from podcasts and books, and I listen a lot and I read a lot. But I also, over the last 18 months to 2 years, have gotten super careful with who I surround myself with, meaning who I listen to, whether it's on social media, right? And kind of what are the voices that I let in? Mm-hmm. And I choose to let the inspirational voices in, not because I want to have my head in the sand, like, right, things are tough, but because I believe that it frames my mind the right way when I let the right voices in, right? And it's not that I'm not around people who are like positive all the time and it's only positive all the time, but I just choose not to let all of that in, right? You've got to have a really good filter to be able to stay inspired.
That philosophy, Jamie, reminds me of the Jim Rohn quote, you are the average of the five people you spend most of your time with, which I constantly am saying in my head.
I roll my eyes because my mom's been telling me that since I was like 15.
Oh,
like,
really?
No joke. Like, it's
you hate
like,
that quote?
I don't hate it because it's so true. I actually put that in my book. So we talk about evaluating your tribe as you want to grow, as you want to change and get... You have to make sure you're paying attention to the people that are around you and the voices that you're listening to because they have to be the right ones.
Absolutely.
Every relationship has a season.
Right.
It doesn't mean we don't. Yeah, go ahead.
So share your favorite podcast and your favorite book that you've read.
Oh my gosh. So many books. So my latest book, and I can't believe it took me this long, I don't even know when it was released, but The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek.
Oh, nice.
Fundamentally, I've read a couple of his books. Shifted this one. I've read all of his books. This one fundamentally shifted like in my brain. Like if you know those throughout your career, there's those certain books or those things you've learned. This one was like, the premise is really lit. You know, life is a finite game, death, right? Eventually it's going to end, but business and the way you think about it's infinite. It will go on beyond you. So if you think you're playing to win something, there's no winner in business. Right? It's constantly evolving and changing. And so it just really shifted the way I look at our business and how I want us to build what we're building. Podcasts. Oh my gosh. There are so many. I'm a podcast junkie. I can't narrow it down. So as an entrepreneur, I would tell you the podcast that's most inspirational to me is How I Built This.
How I Built This?
With Guy Raz. Yeah. It's an NPR podcast. It's been around forever, but they talk to brands and like businesses, but they tell the real story of like, I was living in my truck, right? Yeah. Thought the business was going to shut down three times and now it's Patagonia, right? Or now it's like this brand that you know, but you hear the backstory on like all of the trials and tribulations. And to be honest, that's inspiring for me because I think it normalizes some of the chaos, right? Or some of the feelings of fear as an entrepreneur that you're like, oh, well, shoot. Okay. Like this is normal.
Exactly.
Like I'm not the only one that's kind of dealt with this. So that's probably the most inspirational one for me right now.
I'll have to check them both out, but I'm so grateful that you were able to make it on the show today. Where can our listeners find you, Jamie?
Yes. So you can connect with me on LinkedIn. So Jaimie, J-A-I-M-E, Adam Tates. And you can check out our website too. So that's where the podcast is at. We've got a lot of blogs. So that's Keystone Group I-N-T-L. So short for international, KeystoneGroupINTL.com. And the podcast is Super Power Success. If you want to check it out, iTunes, Spotify, every place that has had podcasts. So it's awesome. Very similar, great business leaders that come on and tell their stories that are inspirational.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We are thrilled to have made a worldwide impact with listeners in 9 different countries. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please be sure to subscribe to Careers and Cocktails on YouTube and drop us a review on your favorite podcast app. If you're looking to update your resume or you're stuck in your career, I'm designated by LinkedIn as the top resume writer and career coach expert. I even created a resume and e-learning course to help you if you want to do your own resume. It's super simple and extremely affordable. Go to careersandcocktails.com to learn more. I also wrote a book called I Hate Mondays for all of you job seekers who hate your jobs and want to love your Mondays. You can go there for the same information. And of course, I'm up to so much valuable information sharing that for you hiring leaders, if you want to find the secrets to finding the best talent, I have a hiring guide at careersandcocktails.com as well. I am here to share information and help people love what they do. Until next time, cheers.